The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 150. Oh, no, pardon me, 189. I almost did it.
Got it.
Thought I was through it. 189, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hello.
Alongside live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. We get tweets beating the book. Drew Dinsick standing by. We get tweets. Judd O'Connor, speaking of birthdays, I'll be in Vegas this weekend for mine. I'll be on the lookout for the beating the book crew in the wild. Yeah, Toddy Wishnev will be here.
In the wild.
A lot of tennis going to be played. Great Swami Gator. As a sports fan and more notably a novice gambler, isn't this week like being a kid during the week of Christmas? Just the best. I usually say the NFL draft is like Christmas morning, but I get your...
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Mariners Geek, a Megapod first. Gil murders Todd through the computer screen. LOL. Could happen. Brad Magnus, Survivor Talk is great. Genuinely curious with your guys' number of entries. Do you feel like you have a legit chance to win? After meeting all the buying groups in the finals last year, I've never been more turned off. My four entries can't compete. Well, there's definitely... Listen, Brad, what you're saying is what I was talking about several times this offseason. Yeah, look, what had always been going on was more out in the open last year, where you knew in Survivor Classic, there was groups that had, you know, 150 entries. By the way, don't think it's past grandissimo either for there to be groups, even in that small pool of players. So it's the reality. Nothing ever remains quaint, right? These are people trying to get an edge. That's always going to be there. And even knowing that, you still want to play because there's no guarantee, right? There's no guarantee, even though it does game the game. To use the old Sean Griffin line, Sean Patrick Griffin, it does game the game. But yes, is it a guarantee they can get to the promised land? Absolutely not. Is there a chance that you still could? There sure is.
Do we feel like you have a legit chance to win, Gil?
Whew.
Hey, man, I am winning, Brad.
You play to win.
I am winning.
You play to win.
That's right. You play to win the game.
Kelly already called a shot.
That's right.
He's winning.
Winning.
We just give him his money.
I didn't even specify a Survivor or Millions. Oh, no, he's talking Survivor. Yeah, Survivor.
Ladies and gentlemen, back from Hawaii, Maui specifically, it is Drew Dinsick, his triumphant return to the show after 1 week off. He is the co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Drewski, what's happening? Oh, look at this guy. Tan. Savage tan.
I was just out in the desert with you guys and signed up for the Survivor myself. I met with Jeff and Mike and Derek, and you know, they all agreed I'm gonna win this year, and they thought, you know, maybe just write me the check now, but you know, they figured just to keep up appearances, we're gonna play it out.
Yeah.
See if anyone will split with me.
Is this your first Survivor?
No, I do Survivor every year.
I was gonna say. Yeah. Sounded like you were saying reverse. I don't know. She's apparently Drew gets the
It'll be my first. Yeah, it'll be my first win.
Oh, got it. Got it. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, it'll be your first win.
First win. Survivor. Yeah.
How many millions are you doing? One entry in millions as well?
Yeah, I got an entry in millions. A couple other team entries in millions. So I'm pretty well exposed to this record prize pool.
Okay, let's put a needle. What's a pin in that for a second? Let's get to tennis. Do you have any tennis today? Because we have some matches starting.
No, the U.S. Open has been miserable,
dude.
Hate it.
Me too.
Hate it.
Me too.
Tennis season is over.
Me
early.
Too. Yeah.
Thankfully, football starts on Wednesday, and I can just completely tune out. No, this has been an awful tournament.
Me too. Why do
I
you think
the only...
by the way, why do you think? Why do you think both of us have gotten destroyed in this?
Well, it's a chaotic dogs out of the blue type of tournament in a good year. This year has just been even more so. And like all of the fun young players, I mean, really the problem, the women's side, the week two is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Outside of the upset to Iga, I think we've pretty much had the best players come through. And so we're going to get some unbelievable quarterfinals, semifinals, finals here. But the men's side is just, the state of the game is just a problem right now. Like there's just not, you know, the good young players who showed supreme promise through clay season and then on the early part of the hard court season were all wildly underperforming in rounds one and rounds two. So like the excitement and like the future of tennis is just not here. And instead you have a number of guys who you're just like, okay, well, I mean, congratulations to, you know, some of these players. Yeah, Alex Mickelson, great example. Like, hey, he's made his first quarterfinal. This might be his only quarterfinal of his career. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's tough to say that, you know, that there's like, we're building something here. I think Shelton has very small chance against Alcaraz today. I think Tiafo winning Q3 is going to be the only thing I think any of my futures that have a realistic chance of hitting. I have some Pagula Q2 that I think will win also. But other than that, my entire futures book is red. And yeah, I've taken a beating. I've had a couple of decent live entries on some comeback matches, but you know, we're clearly in on the men's side tacking towards an Alcaraz Zverev final that's going to suck. And I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. And that will be in the middle of week one of the National Football League Sunday. So I doubt any of us will be yes. watching it. That's the thing. Let's get to the NFL. How you said you have one Survivor entry? One? Yes?
No, three.
Three. Three. How are you going to play it Survivor wise? Let's start there.
Well, here's the thing.
Uh-oh. He's winding up.
Because it ties into the week one handicap, which is that, I mean, there's one side on the board that's just like not right. I don't want to like go down in flames week one. An all Survivor and lose a bunch of money betting it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go all of my Survivor entries on one team or if I'm going to spread it out, but you have the options up on the screen now. If you're listening and not watching, it's Jags, Lions, Chargers, Raiders, Steelers, Eagles. I agree. That is like your pool of six to choose from. For me, the Chargers are a must pass, not because I think they're very realistically going to lose to the Cardinals, but there's way too high of a proportion of the pool on the Chargers. And the Chargers have way too much future value to burn them week one, in my opinion. I think that, you know, the Lions and Jaguars are both fine choices. Jaguars are getting a little bit high in terms of the, you know, proportion of the pool that is choosing them. Lions for me are a bit of a question mark with how weak their secondary is going into the early part of the season. So I'm going to save them as far as future value goes, which leaves me with like Raiders, Steelers, Eagles. Eagles are playing the Commanders. I laid the Eagles. I think they win the game, but I would not burn them against the Commanders, especially because I think they're playing on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't exactly remember if it's both or one, but, you know, Eagles have to be safe for future value. So I honestly think your choices week one are Raiders Steelers, which is tough because the Raiders are not a good team. They just happen to be playing a Division III college football team. And the Steelers are the kind of obvious choice here. I'm surprised that more of the pool is not on the Steelers. I'm surprised the market is sitting at 3.5 after we got the confirmation that Tua is going to be starting. And I don't understand this number. I don't understand why people aren't kind of coalescing around the Steelers as the, you know, the straightforward chalk. They don't have a lot of future value. You could convince me that, you know, they may be worth, you know, saving for later in the season when they get, I don't know, the Titans or the Browns or something like that. But I don't know. I think this is kind of the optimal time to fire Steelers. And, you know, I feel like this is narrative-y and not, I'll circle around to, you know, to why my numbers say the Steelers are the side here. But
yeah,
like the idea that Mike McCarthy is not going to be the talk of all of the reactions week one, going, you know, his grand return to his hometown and getting a, you know, a throttling victory over Tua and the Falcons. Let's recap the Falcons preseason for a second, Bill.
Okay. Sure.
They gambled that Tua was going to be a reasonable stopgap until Penix was healthy. The returns were immediately disastrous.
Yes.
In terms of his performances at the joint practices in particular. Tua played so poorly in the joint practices in the preseason that he lost the quarterback battle to no one. And yet they are forced to start him because they don't have another choice. That is a remarkable kind of sent, you know, kind of signal about where the Falcons are right now in their kind of, you know, starting the season. They're being forced to start a quarterback that they don't want to start on the road against the Steelers defense that has a very violent pass rush and is going to have some new looks, given that they have some, you know, new minds in the building there calling that defense. And the Steelers offense, this is one of the most solved problems in handicapping. The rubric for betting Aaron Rodgers is very straightforward at this point in his career. Is he up against a pass rush that can generate quick pressure? If yes, then bet against the Steelers. If no, then bet on the Steelers. And the Falcons right now, I don't know if you've been following, they lost their young pass rusher, Jalen Walker, to a season-ending injury in the preseason. Their other young pass rusher, James Pierce, suspended for the first 8 weeks of the season, probably 9 weeks of the season, because their ninth game, by the way, is international. And I don't think that James Pierce is going to be allowed into the country of Spain with his felony convictions hanging. So realistically, the only two players that can rush the passer for the Falcons are not going to be available. They don't have a third pass rusher who's going to be able to step up and be the guy that disrupts Aaron Rodgers. So I just am not seeing a world where the Steelers are threatened in this game at all. Laying the three was an easy call before they made the two announcement. After they've made it, only moving to 3.5, I think, is shy. I don't see a difference really between this game, Falcons and Steelers, and Browns Jags. Like, how is it that much different? Like, you have a team starting a quarterback who can't play football against a team that's at home that is trying to set the standard for their season.
I'm shoving all six on the Steelers. Maybe not. More Drew on the other side. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are serious about betting, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for players, a Visa debit card with no usage fees, no more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, even on nights, weekends, and holidays. Use it across all your favorite sports books, prediction markets, DFS platforms, optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based, and online. Earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits and daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. Kelly, that's good for you. Up to $5 million per transaction. New users, sign up with promo code VSIN, make a minimum $100 deposit into your Edge Boost account, and Edge Boost will match your deposit up to $100. It is the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.io and use promo code VSIN to get started today.
They're limiting me to $5 million on my transactions today.
That's what they're doing.
The billionaire bowl is being played later today.
It is.
I got to get millions on it for the billionaire bowl.
Chuckism one. This just in. Gil is old enough to be Kelly's father? ? I would be a young father, but yes.
Yeah.
I'd be a young father.
Yeah.
You'd be like, wow, you're a dad. But yes, it's possible.
It'd be a fun high school story.
That's right. Jody Boggs, can I just, before we get back to Drew here, Jody Boggs, we have the best listeners. We really do. I say it as every day if I remember to, and I should say it every day. It's the best listeners of anything I've ever been involved with. You guys make it so much fun to come in every day. I think I'm speaking for Kelly when I say this. Clever, witty, intuitive, inquisitive, just curious, just really smart. Ultimately, in every way. And then every once in a while, you get a tweet that sort of stops you in your tracks. Jody Boggs at Texas Joe 80. This is a photo from his hospital room. He has chemo infusion today. He says it's chemo infusion day, but it's a little less stressful because I'm pumped to listen to the Megapod, baby, he says, with Gil and the gang. So literally on one of his screens there with all of the chemo equipment, there's a image of the Megapod. And it just sort of hits you as Jody, I hope you get better soon, man. And if we can make it just one iota better for you, man, I hope so. Try to ignore the part where I scream at Todd, if you could. I don't want to cause you any stress. But yeah, Jody, get better soon. We love you, man. Drew Dinsett, kind enough to join us once again for a second segment. Drew at whale_capper. And we were just talking Survivor. I just want to say this, Drew. It's like, so we're talking to you, and then we have a screen here to our right. And every once in a while, worlds collide. They immediately go to you. You just talked about how you can't understand why the Steelers are this, that, and the other. and they have an Aaron Rodgers segment, and they point out Aaron Rodgers with the Jets and Steelers, 16-19 win-loss record. Obviously, those are two other years. In the case of the Jets, it's another team. This is obviously a different Steelers outfit. But it was just like almost a sign from the universe. They're like, hold on before you shove all in on the Steelers. Are you a shove guy? Are you putting all of them on one team? You haven't decided yet, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I between all of the different pieces of action that I'm going to have across different pools, I think I'm going to probably have a couple of Chargers, a couple of Jaguars, but mostly Steelers. I'm not touching the Raiders, even though, again, I get why they would be the play. This is the only time you could conceivably use the Raiders all season. And I completely understand betting against the Dolphins, considering how disastrous their camp has been and how bad that roster is. For me, it's a two-sided. It's the Raiders is a one-sided bet where you're betting against the Dolphins. The Steelers is a two-sided bet where you're betting on the Steelers. You're betting against the Falcons.
Yeah. So. The Dolphins thing is interesting because I brought this up on the Megapod too, which is the first year of Circus Survivor 2020, right after the pandemic or during the pandemic, some might say. That was the year where there was the fewest number of Circus Survivor entries. I think it was 1,300 plus. And a lot of us got really far. I got to week 14 and the Rams lost as 17-point favorites to the Jets. But that was the year where
Who could forget, Drew? I still don't understand how that happens.
Trust me, I don't either. I don't want to talk about it. It's too soon. But you could fade the Jets and the Jaguars all year long until you couldn't, right? With the Jets Rams case.
Sure.
I wonder if the Dolphins things becomes that this year.
I would say that the Dolphins fair rating for me is still kind of in the -5 range. The teams, like, by the time we get to November this year, with how important it is for so many of these teams to get to the top of the draft to take the, you know, kind of narrow band elite talent at quarterback and wide receiver that's coming out next year, and the needs that those teams will have at those positions, I think there is going to be a pretty aggressive tank off in November, December, January. Which means I think when we get to that part of the season, we're probably going to have some teams rated in the -7, -8 range. Like the Jets last year when they were starting Brady Cook, they were like a -9 for me. Right. It's very rare that you have a team that hangs out in that basement in terms of fair neutral rating for the entire season. Like even the season that you remember when the Dolphins were just completely lost and got blown out by the Ravens week one and then blown out by the Pats week two. And then they were like 21 point dogs week three against the Cowboys. Like that's probably as low as I've ever had a team rated. And the Dolphins didn't finish at a -12 or -13 or whatever their fair was that year for me at that time. So, you know, teams ratings change over the course of the season and the Dolphins are probably going to come a little bit higher as they get some continuity on their O-line. And as they develop some of their wide receiver threats, there's young players who could eventually pop and be a factor as far as a pass rush goes. There are young players who could develop as far as a secondary so that they're not just a completely lost team. And then, you know, there are other teams that I think are going to, you know, be trying to lose a la Jets and Brady Cook last year. So, I wouldn't make sincere decisions about who you're going to eventually fire week 12 beyond. And I think that this year is going to look a lot like last year, where if you can get over the hump and get to like week 11, get past Thanksgiving, basically, if you can get past Thanksgiving, I think you're in really good shape to get to the finish line because of how many tanking teams are going to be in the last third of the season. I think if you have a bunch of entries, you have to circle one of the coin flip Christmas games, save both of those teams, you know, and save, you know, basically save, let's just pick an example. Bills are playing the Broncos, I think so. Christmas, right? I think if you have save half your entries, save Bills on half, save Broncos on the other half, and then just sacrifice half your entries on Christmas. And then I think that's generally the right strategy this year, because my guess is there's going to be times to use teams that you would never conceive using now in weeks 13, 14, 15, just based on how the tanking unfolds.
Final score, Bill 16, Broncos 16. There goes your strategy.
Oh, God. Don't say that. Yeah,
geez. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That would be the worst.
My God. Well, hey, as I learned, when it comes to that point in the season,
yes,
Circa nice enough to offer a three-way line on the money line so that people can hedge with the tie.
And you know who we credit for that? Joe Pita, who was the first one to ask him about that. Yeah, like, well, give me some tie insurance. What did you end up betting week one? I know you gave us some totals before. What did you bet size?
Yeah, how those two have moved. My goodness. I don't think we need to go back to the well there, but I'm on Bengals under. I'm on Eagles under, and those two have both moved like three, like point and a half, 2 points. So good looks there. I like the Cowboys Giants under on Sunday Night Football at 48. I'm not sure how much people are following the breaking news about guard injuries, but the only good offensive, the best offensive lineman on the Cowboys, Tyler Smith, is out for 6 weeks with a thumb surgery that came very late in the process. Mm-hmm. Cowboys actively moving pieces around on their offensive line, so no continuity with that unit, and they're up against a good pass rush, so that'll make that game very interesting. I'm not surprised that the market has moved in favor of the Giants there. I think that closes 2.5. But under 48 is a stronger play for me there. I took a couple of overs on the opener. It is ticking up. I played over 44.5 for Pats Seahawks. My fare is actually closer to 50 here. I think it's going to take 27 points to win this game. Both teams, to me, I think are rostered well to take advantage of absences, weaknesses on the defensive personnel on the other side of the ball. I think the Patriots in particular are going to be able to put some scoreboard pressure on the Seahawks in this one. So over 44, if you can get it, very solid bet, in my opinion. I took over in Bills Texans, which I think Bills are going to be more of a boat racy team this year. I think the move from McDermott to Brady with Josh Allen's blessing makes them an all gas, no brakes offense. So that one I think is going to be a fun back and forth, with the Bills defense having question marks in my mind. And then for sides, I laid the Eagles against the Commies. I think 4.5 should be closer to 6. For the dogs on the board, the Jets stand out to me. I think the Jets went out right against the Tennessee Titans. That one should be Jets -1.5, in my opinion.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. Solid. Next time we talk, we'll have football under the belt for the first time this year. Drew, thank you so much. At @whale_capper again, Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, a must listen podcast for NFL junkies and beyond as well. Thank you, Drew.
All right, best luck today, guys.
Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. You can scan the QR code for more right there on your screen. SharpPlays.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Just want to react to Drew's segments here. A couple things. One, I'm unlike other people that we know that are out there that take, I don't know what it is about the DNA strain of sports bettors, but some people, it's not enough for them to win money. They also want the other person to do badly. Mm-hmm. I don't want other bettors to do badly. So I was not rooting for Drew to it. I didn't know how his U.S. Open was going.
Oh, no, I know where you're going with this.
But
the fact
that he said that he's getting killed too.
Right, yes.
There is a little bit in my head that's like, okay, so it's not just.
Because when the opposite happens, your immediate thought is, I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing wrong?
Well, again, I also have like the four plays that's a 9-unit swing that I have no business losing. Anyway, there's that. Anyway,
that doesn't mean you're not doing something wrong. I'm just saying.
That's right. You could be just doing something terribly wrong.
But like, no, I know that feeling. I feel like it happens often. But I will actually use the hardwood handicappers group more so than golf, but it's, Zach or JVT are on a run, especially with like a couple specific teams. And you're like, what am I not seeing in this team that they're seeing? You know,
by the way, I hope Zach is doing great. I hope Zach is doing well. Yeah. US Open. One of us should.
Can we revisit a couple things Drew said?
Oh yeah. No, I'm going back there as well. Okay. What I was going to say
Steelers things in my head,
okay,
man.
So first of all, great Survivor deep dive from Drew. Because now, and also he's got me thinking about millions now, because you got to fill out 5 millions plays, right? That's the thing. Even the year where I crushed on the Megapod, it's only 3 picks. I dropped off a cliff once I had to get the 4th and 5th picks. You know, Megapod record versus Circa Millions record. Because, you know, you got to go 5 deep on these.
Yeah,
now he's got me thinking about the Steelers. He's got me thinking about the Jets. He's got, you know, so that was a lot of food for thought. What I am always impressed by with Drew is the confidence level that he has going into this season. This, Justin, we have not seen a live play yet, right? Preseason is preseason. And I really admire his conviction. I wish I had the strength of that conviction. That's my first reaction. What was yours?
I completely agree with his point about how you should attack Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense this year. Completely agree with that. Atlanta, absolutely down the pass rushers. I think this whole summer, we were talking about this during a break earlier, even before Drew.
It's kind of how you should play Jared Goff also, by the way.
Yeah.
Pressure versus non-pressure.
I feel like the vibes were higher on Atlanta earlier in the offseason. These past couple weeks, as Drew laid out, I think for a lot of what you've seen in the preseason in this quarterback debacle is fair. Still think there's enough talent on that squad that, man, I'm scared. But his point of, and I'm just talking Survivor now, millions, different story. I think absolutely they could be a fair play to look at. His point about where else are you using him the rest of the season is spot on. I mean, there is not, like, late in the year, you're talking
Steelers now.
Steelers. Yeah. Week 17 at Tennessee, week 16 Carolina at home. Other than that, man, I mean, it's week 8, you got Cleveland at home. There's not a lot of looks here.
They're not a futures value team.
Gil, what do you always say about Survivor and the name?
It's a misnamed game.
Why so, Gil?
Because the object is not to survive, Kelly Bidlin. The object is to win.
I can't do it, though. I'm going to raise my hand. Week 1, yeah. I can't do it. I think he's made great points. I made up that little list earlier this morning. I've been hearing all this Steelers love. I'm going to play the Raiders already. I cannot jam all of my entries on the Steelers and the Raiders week 1. I can't do it.
He does bring up another good point about the Chargers.
And I'm playing it wrong. That's me raising my hand if I might be playing this wrong.
By the way, we don't usually go back to the previous segment and just recap it, but he did make another good point about the Chargers, because I've gotten into this habit. Look, we've been talking about the NFL for months now. Months. We don't do this for any other sport, right? And so I've gotten into the habit of saying Chargers week 1, week 2, then it's a gauntlet. Right? And I keep saying that. But you know what? Drew's right. There is other spots to play the Chargers after weeks 1 and 2. Week 1 and 2, it is home Arizona, home Las Vegas, right? And then it is the gauntlet of at Buffalo, at Seattle, there's Denver, there's at Kansas City, there's at the Rams, there's Houston, there's at Baltimore. But then after that, we're talking late November, you know, it's home Jets. Then there's an at Raiders later. There's an at Dolphins later. So there's 3 other spots besides these first 2 weeks. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to panic with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Now
all on the road besides that Jets game, though, right? I'm very okay burning them early.
Okay. Yeah, and they are the Chargers. Whatever goes wrong with that franchise.
Well, so I was going to say, you could make, there's 2 arguments to that, right? Is they're already kind of banged up, Gil. Maybe save them for when they're healthier. Or it's the Chargers, and they're just going to get worse. Like, this is going to get worse.
And I know how you feel about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I'll trust him early in the year against a Cardinals or a Raiders.
Ladies and gentlemen, mea culpa. I probably failed to promote the most exciting thing on the show today. It's time for the return of Kelly Bidlin's College Football Guessing Lines.
Darnell Glenn ready to go. We probably shouldn't do this before NFL guessing lines returns, right?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, this is a play on NFL guessing lines, which begins on Monday. But old Bidlin over here wanted to get his flowers, as the kids say.
I'm just thinking about that now. All right, next year we're going to start this after we do our first official guessing lines.
People like your college football guessing lines, sure. Steal the thunder.
It's definitely the most comical time of the year.
It is fun.
Because I learn enough doing this exercise. Yeah. It is not watching the games. I learn enough doing this exercise weekly that we usually burn this segment by the time we get to week 9.
What do we do? 3 games here?
We built out four, but yeah, okay. We usually do 3 to 5.
Let's just remind people how this started. Obviously, NFL guessing lines. We've done it for a decade and a half, with most famously with my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. And then Kelly, one day when we were back at the South Point, when he was behind the glass, right before a segment started, he was like, "Hey, Gil, what's the number on some random college football game?" And I go, 14. Figuring Kelly.
And I do that quick run around to run back to my desk.
Yeah.
And then look back to Gil.
And says, with pregnant pause.
Plus or minus.
And that's why college football guessing lines was born. All right, you ready to do this?
Oh, let's do it, baby. Let's do it.
Game number one, Mr. Bidlin. Fire it up, fellas, for college football guessing lines. What is game number one?
Game number one, Ohio State and Texas.
Oh, marquee matchup.
The big one. So Andrew Maxwell taking this over this year.
That's right.
From Wyatt Tomchek, who loved to be involved. Oh. This year he's out, though. He's out, Gil.
Wyatt always had a UNLV game in there.
He always did. He says he's too busy for us this year. He's way too busy.
Sorry, Wyatt.
Okay, Ohio State, Texas. Number one versus number five. Big game. I want to make sure you are aware of that. We never talk rankings, okay? I know you're high on rankings in college football.
Yeah, that's always I talk about.
Have you heard about Arch Manning? Peyton Manning's nephew.
No.
Did you know this was a thing?
Really?
Yeah, playing at Texas, man. That's kind of a big deal. Wow. All right, week one. Ohio State beats Ball State 56-3. 49.5 point favorite. I can't really take much from that. Texas beats Texas State in the classic SEC Pac-12 matchup, 59-7 as a 29.5 point favorite. They look pretty good from what I saw. I don't really know what to take from this. I'm going to guess, Gil, from all the smart people I listened to throughout the summer, that Ohio State was either 1 or 2 in the power ratings. So I'm going to go 4.5 is what Ohio State would be on a neutral. Let's bake in home field. I'm going to go Ohio State 1.5 point favorite at Texas.
1.5 is the correct line, but in your parlance, it's the wrong team.
Oh, okay.
Be Texas minus 1.5.
That was close.
That's not bad.
That was close.
We do have to get a better picture than Fat Kelly up there.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Ooh, look at that guy.
Yeah. All right. That was pretty good.
Okay.
Let's do another one.
All right. Oregon, Oklahoma State. Next one up.
Ducks, I know a lot of people are like, hey, the Ducks. I didn't think they looked all that great against Boise.
They looked terrible. I watched a lot of that game. And Dante Moore, I'm going to bring this up a million times. It's going to become a Bryce Young thing for Gil or whatever. Like, I just still can't believe this guy was like, yeah, NFL draft number 2 pick last year. I'm good. I'm going back to school. I know there's a lot of money. I don't know that he's all that impressive to me, though, either. Like, he's okay. Okay, Oregon beats Boise State at home. 34-27, massive favorite. I lost on that one, betting that one. Oklahoma State. At Tulsa, wins 24-10. They were 15.5 point favorites. I kind of remember Oklahoma State as like middle of the pack in the Big 12 odds before the season. Oregon's way up there. This is at Oklahoma State. How many points could you possibly be laying with Oregon on the road at Oklahoma State, which is still like, I mean, it's a program, big time school.
It can't be that much, right?
Going 17. Oregon is what 17 is what I landed on.
Well, I guess you see value on OK State then.
No, it's too early in the season.
Because it's 22.5.
It's too early in the season for the Kelly value plays.
Can we squeeze it one more?
Yeah, we'll do one more. Okay, Iowa State, Iowa. This is a brutal one. Okay, Iowa State beats SEMO 38-10, week one. SEMO's from where, Gil? Southeast Missouri.
Southeast Missouri.
I think, yeah.
Right, yeah.
All right, 29.5 favorites. No, I was going to actually ask you. Iowa shuts out NIU 40-0, but doesn't cover his 52.5 point favorites. Anybody remember Paxton Lynch's Heisman run for Northern?
Oh,
that was a fun year, right? Iowa laying 11. Big 10 team, better program. No idea.
How about 14.5?
Sure. Sounds good.
Value on the Hawkeyes per Kelly Bidlin. Coming back with Jeff Erickson. Let's talk some NFL Week 1 with him as well. Maybe some baseball. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The wait is finally over. College football is back. Though at Florida State, it takes a little extra time.
Whoa!
And the NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Wow. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You also receive our college football betting guide and previews all 138 FBS teams in there. Sign up now. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and you can get started for just $9.99. It's $9.99, or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. That's a VSiN subscription. You ever, you're too young for this. Eddie Murphy, among his many Saturday Night Live characters, played a character called Velvet Jones, who had books. He was hawking books, one of which was You Can Be a Ho, right? He had this kind of thing, Velvet Jones. But one time, Eddie Murphy messed up his line, and he said, you can have a new prescription, and then he caught himself, and he goes, and a subscription, too. He would do that on the fly. So it's a VSiN subscription. Great. I kind of came close to saying prescription there, and somehow that came up in my head. Jeff Erickson, among his many accomplishments, of course, is co-host of Prop Points, not necessarily this time of year, but other times of year, which he does it with Nick Whalen. But what he is really all about, and he doesn't brag about this ever, he is the founder of RotoWire, co-founder of RotoWire. Let's give him his flowers, as the kids say. It's Jeff Erickson, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. That's Jeff with a J. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly. Kelly, great to see you a week and a half ago at Circa there. Wish I could have hung out with the late night crowd. I heard the craps table was pretty hot, but missed out on that experience there.
It was, but it was a party in Barry's. It was a party. There was like 90 people from the contest weekend down at Barry's one night.
Where was I?
You were not here.
Huh. Oh, I was not here?
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't here.
Here in Vegas?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. No. That weekend you were. Yeah. I don't know why you were.
No one calls me.
I don't know why you weren't Friday night.
Jeff, to the few people on earth, to the few fantasy leagues that have yet to have their fantasy draft that are having it tonight, you say to those leagues what?
Hey, make sure you just read everything that the last second there, because there's always injuries. There's always something new that's happening there. Like the whole New England running back situation, that's changing some of our ranks there, for instance. It doesn't look like Henderson's going to be able to play. It looks like Stevenson will be the lead guy, and he might be the lead guy for a while, too. That's where we finished the season with them in the playoffs, when Henderson was healthy. So little things like that are always huge. I would always say, like, go in if you know your draft slot, know the league rules, know how, because every league is different, and know exactly, have a little bit of a plan. You don't have to be like wired out. Okay, I got to take a receiver here, I got to take a running back there, but have a general idea how you want to tackle the player pool.
Okay. Before we get to baseball, because I know you have a bunch of baseball for us, What is the most outlying Jeff Erickson season long NFL take? What do you believe that you haven't heard much from elsewhere on the same level?
Okay, I am a Rashee Rice fader. I don't have any shares of him in my 20 plus leagues. He would have to fall into the late fifth round for me to draft him this year, and I know that could keep me up at night. I mean, he could have a great year with the Chiefs, but I have plenty of layers of skepticism with him. Whether it's his own health, he looked really stiff at the start of training camp, coming back from yet another procedure. You know, one misstep and he may be out of the league. I have concerns about whether Patrick Mahomes is going to be the full Patrick Mahomes right away off the jump. And after week one, the schedule does lighten up for the Chiefs, but they finish really in a tough spot as well. So I really don't have a whole lot of the Chiefs offense this year.
Okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. Today we have a prop. You have a Freddy Peralta prop, and it's at 4.5. His K's are at 4.5. How are you playing Freddy Peralta, over or under?
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over on Freddy Peralta's K's at 4.5. -111 at FanDuel is the best price I saw. Since joining the Rays, he's nearly doubled his K per nine and nearly cut his walks in half. He's just throwing more strikes. It's almost like the Rays are good at this and getting the most out of their pitchers. And I think that continues today against Atlanta. You know, it's a tougher step up for him for sure. But I like almost everything that he has done in the last three starts. He's been a lot better of a pitcher. It is bumpy at first, but keep in mind his first Rays start was at Coors Field. The second one was in Sacktown and it was steaming hot. So you start there and you look at his game log, you're like, okay, the Rays didn't fix him yet. Well, you look at what he's done recently, he's been a lot better. And he went one inning too long in a start against Baltimore, but the K to walk has been so much better, 17-1 in his last three outings.
Rays and Braves, each respectively with four-game leads in their divisions. Rays 4 games over the Yankees, Braves 4 games over the Phillies. 18 games left for the Braves, 19 left for the Rays. So they have a bit of a cushion here as they start this interleague set. And they, of course, have designs on the respective number one seeds in their leagues. Rays in the driver's seat right now in the American League. Braves still got to get past the Brewers and the Dodgers, by the way, as well. But a number two seed would be just as dandy, not just as dandy, but also great to have that bye and miss the best of three to start the postseason. Okay.
Against the Cubs, no less.
Against the Cubs, no less. That's right. That's brutal. Okay. You have a team total today. Are we going to Sacktown, I believe?
We are. And hey, I'm going to keep going back to this well. And Jack Perkins at home is the real factor here. Jack Perkins has skills. He has someone that I think could have been quality pitcher in this league. He still knows how to miss bats, 116 strikeouts in 98 innings this year. But if you look at the home road splits, he's getting butchered at home. 7.04 ERA, 1.60 WHIP. The A's have moved him up and down out of the rotation into the bullpen. For a while he was a closer, then he wasn't. They just really don't have a cohesive plan with him, and I think it's really messed with his results this year. They just sent him down, but then they had to call him back up because JT Ginn went on the IL with an elbow injury. So Perkins back in the lineup, back in the rotation today, starting against the Jays. I was going to think about, you could also take a look at the total in the game. It's 9.5, but Jose Soriano's on the mound for the Blue Jays, and I think at least he's one of their better pitchers. So we'll avoid that aspect of it there and just go with the team total on the Blue Jays against the A's instead. All right. Too many Rays and Jays and A's in my mind. I keep conflating.
I didn't get a Blue Jays win with Dylan Cease on the hill yesterday, but I do have the Red Sox with 5 wins here in September. Blue Jays with 4, so both in contention. All right, I have 2 pre-flop season win totals, neither of which is on the right side of 500 right now. I have the under 79.5 on the Guardians. They're a game over 500. How, I have no idea. And then there's the Rangers, who I have over 83.5 on. They're 71-73. So these are still in play, but they're not feeling very good. But you are on the Rangers today?
Yeah, this is a Bryce Miller fade. He's in the rotation only because Emerson Hancock landed on the IL with a groin issue. And the Mariners, they're stubborn. They stick with the 6-man rotation. They trade away Luis Castillo, but then they call up Cade Anderson. The whole Mariners season is a study in frustration. You want to talk about a team that is underachieved. The Tigers are there, the Mets are there, but here are the Mariners deserve their scorn as well. And Bryce Miller, after coming back from the IL to start the season, was really brilliant for about 6 weeks. He hasn't been the same pitcher since then. He was okay in his last time out, still gave up a decent number of base runners, couldn't get through 5. We're getting plus money on the Rangers to win straight up. I know Cody Bradford hasn't been great in his own right since coming back, but at plus 122 on FanDuel, I think the Rangers are at least the equal of the team as the Mariners, and I'm fading Bryce Miller.
Mariners, the most disappointing team in all of baseball this year, would you say, Jeff?
Right there with the Mets and the Tigers. Tigers, I mean, they deserve a little extra scoring because they were right there, and then they decide to sell off at the trade deadline anyhow. And you can simultaneously like what they got in the Scooble deal and hate that they made it in the first place.
Yeah. Mariners 5.5 out of a wild card, 6 out of the division now. It is looking bleak. But the Seattle Mariners, Jeff fading them with the Rangers today. And then finally, we have a wild card race, obviously, in both leagues. The NL one is kind of mano a mano right now for that third wild card spot between the Diamondbacks and the Padres. What are you doing here? How are you betting this?
So it's interesting because I want to talk a little Diamondbacks. I want to use this as a platform to talk about them. 77-68 this year. They're kind of beating the odds. They have an exactly even run differential on the season. Their starting pitching isn't great. We're talking about Aaron Judge coming back, but Corbin Burnes makes his return today as well. And this was a little bit of a surprise because he had a setback earlier. Probably is not going to go very deep in this game. I think he threw like 43 pitches in his last outing, which wasn't even a rehab start. It was this simulated game, basically. But he's trying to jump in and try and jump in time for the playoff race here. I think the Diamondbacks are a fascinating team because, the Kettle Marte thing has been a big mess. The guy that opened the year as the closer is no longer on the team. Again, this is like a Diamondbacks thing that they do. Their starting pitching is just lukewarm, and yet here they are 9 games over 500. They're like the anti-Mariners.
Jeff Erickson, everybody. Jeff, sorry I missed you when you were here, man. Would have liked to have met you in person for the first time. Always appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Jeff Erickson, everybody. Jeff _ Erickson. And not the G-E-O-F-F, as we always say.
That's right.
But the real Jeff, with the J. I don't know which is realer. I just felt like saying. All right, how about some 1-2 exactas? NFL divisions. Let's do that next on A Numbers Game.